B-Pod Studios.
Fultz, like last year, you had Mike Muscala, Wilson Chandler, Markelle Fultz, like all these guys you were counting on. We don't have that crap anymore. Everything's gone. All the distractions are gone. Young guys have a couple chances to steal a couple spots here, and you have a veteran core. Let's go. No more excuses.
So you're starting the season out basically with the team you wanted to finish with last year, which was a team built to contend now.
Yeah, I actually think they upgraded some.
I think so. Absolutely.
Like everybody on its surface got kind of, you know, upset by JJ and Jimmy leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I viewed it as, okay, thanks for your service. See ya. I think we upgraded.
Well, after you see Jimmy Butler sign that contract with the Heat yesterday and then challenge everyone in Miami to dominoes and then do a pen drop as if it's a mic drop when signing the contract, it's like, oh, I don't miss you. Like, it's really weird. Like, when I saw that he wasn't coming back, I was like, damn, what I knew to be good and contend to be great is not going to happen. But then it was like Al Horford, Tobias Harris, re-up with Ben Simmons. It was like all these things fell into place.
Josh Richardson, this town's going to love, I think.
Josh Richardson, absolutely. And all these different things that you did, and it's like, oh, damn, this seems to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And you can call it naive, whatever you want to call it, but I really think that Ben Simmons is coming in next year with a comfortable jump shot.
Wow.
And when we talked to David Murphy in a couple hours, talked to him at 9 o'clock from the Inquirer, wrote a great piece over the weekend about the thing that really stuck out to me about this, and this is what also got the wheels going, that with giving Ben Simmons this 5-year, $170 million contract extension, they really look at him as like, he's a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Like, because David Murphy wrote it brilliantly in the Inquirer. He talked about his defense being elite. He talked about his distribution, his passing being elite. He talked about his mindset, his approach to the game being elite. The jump shot is going to be a nice bonus for Ben Simmons. And I'm like, if that's all it's going to take, this guy's going to develop it.
Yeah, because all of that other stuff is instinct. You know what I'm saying? And now you're saying, okay, are you going to put in the work to become a better shooter? And I don't think any of us think that Ben is a slacker. You know that Ben is going to put in the work. You know, it seems to me when you look at a couple of the pictures of him that he seems like he's leaned down a little bit. He was already lean, but to kind of share some of that muscle just so that he can be able to shoot a little bit better. I think that having all of that bulk messed up his shot a little bit. So now you start to see him kind of trim down a little bit more to get rid of some of that muscle so that he can have the flexibility to keep that elbow in tight to work that jumper.
Now,
we talked about it last week, that if you go into a basketball court, it's impossible to teach somebody to have better court vision. You know, it's almost impossible to teach somebody. You have to become a better rebounding is instinctual. That's like you said, Trey, that's something that you just go after. You can go and get. That's how you do it. To be a floor leader is hard. To he has all of those things. An elite passer, unbelievable. You can't teach somebody to be an elite passer. You either have it or you don't. What you can teach is shooting. And I really think, and from the times that I was around the team when he was there, Trey, you just talked about it, the kid is a relentless worker. I do think he'll come back with some sort of more of an outside game. I don't think it's going to be a 15 to 18 foot here I am jump shot all day long, but I think his game will progress from further outside of the basket, outside of the lane.
A little under 2 months, the FIBA World Cup goes on, and he's going to be playing for the Boomers, and again, I call it naive, but I feel like this is the best possible time for him to compete in something like this. And I don't know if it's because I can look at it as a Sixers fan as if this is like a practice for him, but I feel like anytime you put a jersey on that has your country's name on it, I'd hope you take it seriously. But it's not the paycheck. It's not the day job thing. I'm hoping he is looking at this as an opportunity to develop his game further, where maybe he'll feel a little bit more comfortable throwing up that jump shot. Maybe he'll feel a little bit more comfortable in experimenting while he's playing in games like this as opposed to playing in the NBA, because maybe not as many eyes will be on him, right? Well, that's how I look at it.
Well, the eyes are going to be on him. The first time he takes a jumper, boom, on ESPN. Ben Simmons shot a jumper. It's going to be on him, but this gives him an opportunity to go ahead and just let it rip. You know, you don't want your first time shooting a game jumper in an NBA game. Go ahead, and this is the time now to, man, shoot a couple of air balls, have it damn near knock the backboard off if you break, whatever you need to do, but you just need to be able to shoot it with somebody running around you, because it's totally different when you have two guys that's catching the rebound and passing it to you in the gym while you're all by yourself, instead of guys just running around and having some type of crowd with them. So I think this is kind of his preseason.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or like when we go to a preseason game.
And you know what's nice about him is that you can watch guys in the gym and catch the ball and shoot and catch and shoot. There's not many times in an NBA game that you're going to catch the ball and have that wide open look like you're doing when you're shooting from the 3-point line in practices. But guess what? Ben Simmons is going to have open 15 footers because the way we see teams back off him. So he can stand in the gym and shoot those 15, 18 footers, 12 footers over and over and over again. And that is similar to a game. Because teams back off of him so much, he is going to be that wide open.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. 6 o'clock hour was brought to you by Panther East and Black Cat Fasteners. Attention contractors, get job site delivery of all your tools, supplies, equipment, and fall protection gear. Shop online at PantherEast.com. And you are listening to 97.5, the Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. Kevin in Center City wants to talk some Sixers with us. What's up, Kevin?
What's going on?
Hey.
Well, first I'm going to say I don't think this team is actually better than last year's team. I think they're slightly less talented. I mean, I like them. They're good on paper. I don't have an issue with what Elton Brand did. I actually think he did the best job he did. I just don't think a lot of the pieces fit what scheme Brett Brown is going to run.
I think they took – I think that, look, offensively, I think they took a bit of a shooting hit. But mm-hmm. I believe they have upgraded tremendously defensively.
I think Josh Richardson isn't a better defender than Jimmy Butler. Al Horford is great. I give him that.
Al Horford, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons is the three of your starting five right there.
Well, they were all on the team last year, except for Al Horford.
Now three of the starting five. Three of the starting five. Josh Richardson has taken steps forward in his defensive ability every single year. Elton Brand is raving about that. These guys are, I think, defensively miles ahead of where they were last year.
I like what Elton Brand did. I can't fault him.
Okay.
My thing is this. If I'm concerned about anything, the one thing I'm concerned about, and I think it's a lot of people underplaying it, is the current MVP, who, unlike Ben Simmons, has got exponentially better every year. He's about to hit a LeBron-like level. I don't think people realize it. If you look at his growth every year, mm-hmm. it's ridiculous. And if he gets better than what he was this year, it's not going to be as easy as people think.
Just say this, Kevin, real quick. It'll also be his seventh year in the NBA.
Right. Very right. good.
Well, that's the point, right? So what I'm saying is, The Sixers have to grow. The biggest leap, the Sixers, I know a lot of people are putting, I'm not going to spend a whole summer talking about Ben Simmons' jump shot. The biggest growth that the Sixers really need to make is the coach needs to learn how to execute or coach a half-court offense. Because if you don't, Al Horford, you're going to relegate Al Horford. You're going to relegate Josh Richardson. You got to have a half-court offense, and the team hasn't had one in the last 5 years. So Brett Brown needs to make as big of a leap as Ben Simmons does, if this team is going to succeed.
Kevin, I think you hit it right on the head, because when you started your call, you said, I don't know if this team fits into the scheme, and I was going to interrupt you and say, well, Brett Brown has to change the scheme, and
that's
he does.
Exactly it.
He does.
Exactly.
I don't know if this is a run. With Ben Simmons, you can always run, and you can get Tobias Harris out there running with you, Josh Richardson, whatever it may be, but you're right. This is going to be a slower team. This is going to be a team that you are going to wind up half court, and I've said it before, ever since they got Al Horford, I think that Horford and Embiid can work really, really well together in a half court. It's up to Brett Brown to find out, you know, exactly which way it can work.
And they need to figure out big time who's going to run the pick and roll, because if you watch Al Horford last year, that's a big part of his game. Executing that play, he runs it to a T. I think that they, so if it ain't Ben Simmons, if it ain't Tobias Harris, like, they need to figure out that had to be a part of their plan. Like, their has grown exponentially.
And then, Kevin, thanks for the call.
I was thinking about that this weekend. A two-man game between Tobias and or Al or Joe is going to be really hard to stop.
Well, I was thinking about the half court game because obviously
Kevin's entirely right. Yeah, this is a new team we're going to see.
And when you have
outside of the players,
Ben Simmons is your point guard, who yes, admittedly is just at his best when he's running. It's not when he's in a half court set. We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
It's looking at that backup point guard, and that's why you look at Neto. That's why you look at Shake Milton.
Yeah,
throwing it down, sticking to use guys over the weekend. Free Shake. Shake Milton throwing it up to Zaire, and him throwing it down. Shea Hooker, knocked down some outside shots. Super Mariel, as they call him.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that because they are going to need a point guard to be able to settle things down, especially since the sad news of what happened on Thursday night. TJ McConnell going to the Pacers.
Yeah. TJ is gone.
His poster is still up here in the producer studio, and it says grit in a bubble word thing coming out of his mouth.
When do we put the JJ Redick ad in the paper over that? When do we get that?
Am I the only one that was kind of happy to see JJ go?
I was like, okay, deuces, see ya.
I had gotten over JJ.
I saw where you could improve upon the position.
Yeah,
but
if he was your sixth man, I would have loved it.
The reaction that he got, it was more like, oh my god, he sucks. And JJ Redick to me gave me more than you even anticipated. So I understand it was time to move on. You needed to get better defensively on the perimeter, and he wasn't going to give you that. But for the 2 years he was here,
he was solid.
He gave you more than you thought. He averaged career highs in both years.
I know. Well, you paid him to give you that.
Set a franchise record for threes this season.
I'm not dying on JJ Redick Hill.
No, he's a fine player. I don't
but
hate
if
him.
If you can honestly look back at it, he gave you more than you thought.
Yeah, the defensive sieve, and I thought he was unclutch.
Bob, can I ask you if you have talked to TJ McConnell?
We did share a few text messages. Yes.
Is he doing okay?
He's all right.
He got paid.
Yeah, he's doing fine.
Yeah.
Good for him. He's earned it, man.
Great story.
Like, I don't like saying I'm proud of people that I have nothing to do with.
No, but like him and Ryan Arcidiacono, you look at and you go, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
I am. I can't help it. I'm proud of both
Arch,
guys.
Local kid. I mean, he's like any one of us, you know, the little local kid, 6 foot, gritty, and he's got $9 million from the Bulls. Good for him. It's awesome.
Yeah, like the $9 million for Ryan Arcidiacono, I'm like, this is the first time where I would not have played in Italy if I was watching everything else for Ryan Arcidiacono. I'm like, I'd play in Italy. See you later. Because he got offered that deal. I believe he even signed over in Italy and then took the summer league deal and the two-way deal with the Spurs and then ended up going to the Bulls. But whatever. $9 million, not too shabby. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, if you miss Jake Arrieta over the weekend, Trey's going to take us behind the scenes here of an athlete's mentality.
Yeah.
When he's threatening physical harm on another athlete, even one that's as innocent as Todd Frazier. Time of the Fanatic 712.
When you got hurt at the work, did the insurance company do what was in your best interest or theirs? Think about it. Do they really want to spend the money necessary to give you the medical treatment and benefits you deserve? Here's something else to think about. Before you take any advice from that self-serving insurance company, call Kotler Hernandez and Cohen. Law offices at 866-66-LAW-NJ. With 14 full-time attorneys devoted exclusively to workers' compensation cases throughout New Jersey, a Spanish-speaking paralegals, and if you can't travel, they have a team that can come to your home. Kotler Hernandez and Cohen put people first. If you've been injured on the job and want to know if the insurance company is cutting corners on your case, call 866-66-LAW-NJ. That's 866-66-LAW-NJ or peoplefirstlawyers.com. That's peoplefirstlawyers.com. Kotler Hernandez and Cohen, we put people first. 97.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm the Fanatic. Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Where she just like was packing things for the move, and we had the big move on Friday night. We had the big move and everything, and I was just looking for stuff, and I was like, oh, I threw that out. And I had all these souvenir cups. from the Wells Fargo Center, like, you know, all the souvenir cups from Citizens Bank and all that stuff that I use basically as like my water cups now to get a glass of water, a big thing of water. And I'm looking for them, and it's like, oh, I threw those out. Rampage mode was a lot worse than I thought. And if I was talking about it last week, and my wife wakes up at 6 a.m. last Tuesday, and she's like, oh, we gotta get ready for the move on Friday. And she goes, yeah, I feel like we haven't done anything, and we've already done a lot. And she got up and started packing up the kitchen at 6 a.m. just because she felt like she hadn't done anything. So I assume during full rampage mode, she just decided, oh, we don't need these, and just started throwing out my water cups. Left and right, all my beautiful souvenir water cups that had, like, James Van Riemsdyk on the side of them. And fortunately, she kept the one that had John LeClaire on the side of it. Fortunately.
John LeClaire just celebrated his 50th birthday the other day.
And he looks great, doesn't he?
Yeah, Eric Lindros said a little happy birthday to my buddy.
I missed that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like my wife went through worst rampage mode than I even thought.
Really?
I couldn't find any of my souvenir water cups, Bob.
Not good. I was going through stuff because, you know, we're looking to move also.
Yes.
So I had to do some stuff. I was going to tell Jamie just now, but I forgot. I found like 2 pairs of golf shorts that I forgot that I had.
Oh, that's a nice find.
That's a great find.
That's a very nice find.
Oh, yeah. And then you wash them up and put them, and they're ready to go. So I just got to get out golfing now.
That's all you need.
That's right.
One of the good social media things that came up over the weekend was a picture of a guy in, it was like a wrestler with a big kind of, it looked like a boa, but it wasn't a boa. It was like a feathery vest is how you say that. And
I just like to see you struggle with that one. I didn't know to say either.
Whatever it was. And he has like a Darth Vader mask on. And it said, when you're cleaning out your room and find your old stuff. And I was like, that's pretty funny. But so she went through full rampage mode, and I think I lost a lot in the move. I think she just willy-nilly threw stuff out. Like, I was talking about this last week, Jamie. She went through total rampage mode. And it was just, now I'm looking for things. And every answer is, oh, I threw those out. We didn't need those. And I'm like, huh? What was that? Yeah, my souvenir cups? This is terrible.
Talking about like stadium souvenir cups?
Yes! That's like $10 for a soda.
How about the picture?
No, the painting didn't make it. No, that was settled.
I couldn't remember if it was a painting or a picture, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's the difference? But no, that
oh, okay.
It's a goner.
I wish we could replay Marshall. Oh, yeah, it's coming.
Yeah.
Don't you worry, it's coming.
Hey, I won.
You got the closet.
I got the armoire.
The armoire.
Yeah, I got the armoire that's just been remodeled. No,
I had faith in you that you were going to win that. Remember?
I think you were.
I had your back. I was the only one.
You were my legal counsel.
I did, yeah.
You represented me well.
Well, Celeste, she texted you during one show. She said Bob and I are one. Something
yes,
like that.
Yes, on the same wavelength.
To me, that's one.
Yes. But no, our contractor did a great job restoring it. The thing's beautiful. It's 100 years old. They did an amazing job.
Nice.
Bada boop, bada beep. We're in good hands.
Do we have something else to talk about with the new house?
Something
that
else?
You brought up before the show? Was it before the show or during the first break? Did you have other people living with you, maybe?
I did. So you weren't here Friday, and obviously Jamie wasn't either. That my house is apparently haunted.
Oh, did you bring it up on Friday?
We mentioned it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, I didn't wake up early enough to listen to the whole show on Friday.
Our buddy Dan Schwartz made a little Photoshop of my face on like outside a haunted house and Jason Martinez for some reason.
Oh, it was huge then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, but, you know, like,
I apologize.
My wife just heard a door rattling, and she goes, babe, I think our house is haunted. And I was like, oh, wow. Nice work, detective.
My wife thinks our house is haunted.
Are you serious?
Yeah. She said she's been, you know, with the nursery now. She's in there a lot on her own.
Uh-huh.
And she said she's seen stuff, like, just fly off the shelf while she's sitting in there. And
what?
She's not...
Oh, wait. Really? You didn't say that earlier. I thought you said she saw, like, an image fly across.
No. She said she's seen things come off the shelf. And I was like, all right, well, apparently it's a pretty friendly ghost because we've been here 3.5 years. I've never felt creeped out or anything. So you might as well embrace them, you know? And we're like the oldest neighborhood in Philadelphia, so it makes sense. I believe in ghosts.
Yeah, sure. If you've seen a ghost, I'm not going to fight you on it.
I mean, as long as it's not a ghost that's trying to kill me or something, then I'm cool. Whatever.
Can ghosts kill you?
I'm sure they could drop a knife, you know, on your jugular or something if they wanted.
Can they grasp?
I don't know if they can grasp. I know they can throw things.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess they can grasp.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to throw without grasping.
I guess. But can they can they get, like, will they do it involuntarily? Are ghosts passive aggressive? 610-632-0. That's the big question we got today.
They'll make you trip down the steps. They just won't make you die.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see you there. That's, yeah. That's what a ghost says every time.
Oh, whoops.
Every time they go to
my house.
Every time they go to harm the living, they do it in a real passive-aggressive type of mode.
So that's good. We'll have to get our wives texting about our respective ghosts.
Oh, I told the story on Friday as well, but yeah, I heard footsteps. I was in the basement one time. No one else was home.
Ghost.
So totally a ghost, right?
Yeah, we got ghosts.
Were you drinking?
I'm not. Oh, heavily. Well, no,
we're just hanging out where the love swing is, though, you know.
That's right. Mark was down. They want you out the love swing.
That's probably...
Wait, there's a love swing?
Well, this wasn't Friday. Yeah, this was all week.
We'll update you on the love swing in a second.
It's definitely a love swing.
But wow. I teased this earlier. Jamie, do we have Jake Arrieta from over the weekend?
Speaking of love swings.
In case you missed it, here's the deal. In case you missed it. Sorry. Dan Baxter on Twitter just tweeted me the photo I just referenced, Bob. Of when you clean out your room and you find all your old stuff. So that's worth retweeting and check that out. Jake Arrieta has a bit of a rough start on Saturday night and hit a couple of batters, all with changeups. And it comes out afterwards that apparently Todd Frazier, New Jersey's own Todd Frazier, took a little bit of an issue with it and they exchanged some words. Here is Jake Arrieta after the game Saturday night when he issued the now famous threat to Todd Frazier.
A little bit, especially with changeups, but, you know, Frazier's not happy about it. He can come see me and I'll put a dent in his skull.
Yeah. He goes on to talk about how he kind of didn't have control.
Yeah, I'll put a dent in his skull.
And then he also mentions how he's not playing exactly healthy. He doesn't say that he's injured. He doesn't say if he's having an MRI or if he's having an examination or anything like that. But he just says, yeah, we'll see how things go. I feel okay for the most part, whatever. But he didn't really go into great detail. But the thing that jumped out there was saying he would put a dent in a player's skull.
A dent.
I wonder if the league
gets involved,
calls Mr. Tight Pants and says, hello, Mr. Tight Pants, we don't want to speak that way.
Yeah, that is kind of frowned upon, I guess.
I would think. Yeah. If I was, honest to God, the first thing I thought of when I heard it, if I was the reporter, I would have said like, oh yeah, how?
Yeah, right.
Because a dent in the head, that doesn't seem punch-like. That seems bat.
Yeah.
Ball. Uh-huh.
Definitely ball.
Some kind of foreign object.
But you're wearing a helmet.
But then, he said if he wants to come and talk to me.
Mm. Yeah.
So that was,
I don't think he's coming to talk with a helmet.
He's not coming to talk with a helmet.
They're not having a mound conference between pitcher and batter.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, he let it be known very clearly. Like, look, there is no mistake about this. Mm. Very clearly, no joking around. No, not even at a little. He didn't even raise his voice.
No, that's what makes it scary.
He didn't even raise. Listen, if he wants to come and see me, tell him to come on, and I will put a dent in his head.
I imagine that's how all fathers want to talk to the first boyfriends of their daughter.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to let you know this is what's going to happen if you mess with my daughter. Yeah. Not like yelling and screaming, just putting it out on the table.
Very calmly.
Yeah, very, talking about the trunk space and the shovels they own.
Some of us have already done that.
But I feel like that's how it's going to be. I feel like that is how that conversation would be had. Jake Arrieta was like, I got a shiver down my spine of fear when I heard that. Like, that guy's going to come after you. And he's not going to be the guy yelling and screaming at the bar. He's going to be the quiet guy just being like, hey, just so you know, I'm gonna kill you right now.
When I heard that, I was like, yes! Let's go! Now that's what I'm talking about! I go to war with that man any day.
All right. Well, would you go to war with, what is he allowed now? 14
runs? The man said I will put a dent in anybody's skull that wants to have any, that has any issue with what I've done. I go to war with you.
In 6 of his last 10 starts, he's allowed at least 4 earned runs.
Did you hear what that man said?
He also called teammates under the bus this year.
Yeah, I know. Now that right there, we have to talk about that. But the man said, I will put a dent and I go to war with you. That's how I love, I can't think of this. Works with you on NBC.
Barrett?
No. I can't think of him. I'm drawing a blank.
Bob Costas.
No, pitcher.
Oh, Ricky Pitalica.
I love him. Yeah. Because he is just like, screw everybody.
Spins his mind.
Screw everybody. Yeah. This is how I feel. This is what's on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
go to war with you.
Sure.
Go to war with you. Take care of that. You come to find out he has, Mr. Tight Pants, he has bone spurs in his elbow.
He's fighting through
he's
it.
He's battling.
And he'll still put a dent in your head.
Isn't it just great every time he starts to really suck, an injury pops up?
Yeah, well, you know.
Did you,
bone spurs, they come and go. They pop in and out of the joint. You know.
Jamie's down on Mr. Tight Pants.
Down on. I loathe the man. Like, I literally did a Raw Richard head list yesterday based off of him because I think he is one of those.
All right. How about this? Before you go threatening other players, all right, before you go doing that, how about we lower that ERA just a tad?
Yeah, let's put a dent in the ERA.
Now, there are some things that need to be corrected.
let's put a dent in the strike zone.
Let's prioritize.
All
of that, yes. All of that, yes. But the man said he'll put a dent in the head. You know what? I go to war with you. I want you on my team. I want to make sure that you're on my team.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's okay. I get
it. I'm just saying. Yeah.
But he's zero threat on the mound.
Well, the man had bone spurs. I'm just saying. The man said he'll put a dent in the head, man. There's a threat on the mound. The man said he'll put a dent.
I want to love it. I really want to love it.
Oh, like, isolated, I love it.
Yeah. Like, when Cole Hamill said, I hit Bryce Harper, welcome to the big leagues, kid.
I still hate that. That was stupid.
It's dumb, but I like that he embraced it and was just like, yeah, I did that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Like, that was cool.
Whatever.
I think throwing at him because he's in the major leagues is kind of dumb.
Welcome to the majors, man.
The fact he owned it, most people wouldn't have.
Sure.
So I respected that.
That part of it, sure. Okay.
I want to love Jake Arrieta's comments. The guy is such a tool, though.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
He's a massive tool.
Totally agree with all of it.
Yeah.
I think
so. I can't love it.
Personality-wise, I think Jake Arrieta is quietly awesome. Like, I really do. But, like, all that really matters
if
is how
good.
He performs.
Yeah.
And if he starts performing the way he should.
The man swept his rented kitchen in his underpants.
That was hilarious.
Because Bryce Harper was coming to town.
Not just underwear. It's fancy underwear.
Fancy, it was like wrestler underwear.
Yeah. You know he has a drawer full of those. You know, because you
didn't
know,
have a design on the
yes,
bus.
I'm not sure. I really didn't focus on that. I was just kind of like, you know what?
I think it was a horse, maybe, and a matador, or a bull and a matador.
All I know is design.
Let me see if I can look it up for you, Travis.
Yeah. He told the miss, hey, baby, fetch me my, please, get me my fancy underwear.
Fetch me my fanciest drawers.
Fetch me the fanciest of my underwear, please.
Yes.
You know, and there you go. He comes out, bam, there you are.
Yeah, he's definitely crazy.
You know, and sweeping, you know, and he's just hanging out. You know, this is how he's around the house with just some just fancy underwear out. And some flip-flops, you know, just chilling.
In case you missed it earlier, you know how Todd Frazier responded to the Jake Arrieta comment about, I'll put a dent in his head if he wants to come talk to me about it?
Mm-hmm.
Todd Frazier, when reached, just said, well, I think that was overboard.
Yeah. What you think?
Good, great retort.
Yeah. That guy's a little crazy.
I thought guys from Jersey were like supposed to have, you know, some bigger balls. Not for nothing. I'm sorry. Hold on, Bob. North Jersey. I'm sorry. North Jersey. Yeah, there is a huge difference.
Hey, you got a chance to see him the next day.
Yeah.
So what was your?
But
did he? I would like this. Did he even address Mr. Tight Pants? I'm thinking.
No.
After that was said, you just all right. You just sit over there and you don't even look at him. Mm. I don't even want to make eye contact.
Mr. Tightpan should have taken out the lineup card yesterday. He should have gone up to Gabe and said, no. I got this one. Just walked out there and looked over in the dugout.
I'm glad you brought that up, Bob, because it brings me to this. So Hoskins gets hit yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And a couple of guys, you could debate whether or not they got thrown out. Hoskins, they came in up and in on his, I think, last at bat of the game where he hit the home run. How does baseball police this? Because especially with the Phillies and the Mets this year, it's out of hand. And I don't want somebody getting a dent in their head. Right?
Frazier smirked when Reese got hit yesterday.
Yeah, there was a little
he enjoyed
smirk
that.
Yeah, he did.
And they've thrown at Reese now what?
Three or four
times at least.
They hit him twice and I think threw at him two other times.
It really pisses me off when balls go underneath Reese Hoskins' chin.
I agree, Gabe.
Well, that one they got hit on yesterday went under his ass. It went on his like his calf, if you will. So he gets out, he gets hit, he takes first base. He kind of backed up into the pitch, but he's trying to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But how would you want Major League Baseball to police this? Because I don't want this to continue.
Yeah.
I don't.
Then like, fight.
Like, okay,
because it's so one-sided.
Let's just fight and get it over
let's
with.
Let's have a newsroom-style brawl from Anchorman. Everybody go out there. Let's get this over with, and let's play some baseball.
No touching of the head or face.
But like, I think about it with hockey, and that's where I will always defend fighting in hockey, because it prevents somebody from taking a stick and just slamming somebody against the head. In baseball, it's not like that. You're not right next to these guys, right? So how do they police it? Is it a matter of just issuing the suspensions and fines? Or is it a matter of letting guys either go at it or just saying, look, you can pitch up and in. You can pitch inside. That's part of the game. I don't want that to go anywhere. If it's one with the other, then all right. But I feel like we can find a way to find a better solution here. And I, in my like gladiator mentality, in my mind, I would love the bullpen guys that run out like idiots to play peacemaker. Like, they run next to the guys they're supposed to be fighting, which is just hilarious to me. They basically frolic in, Trey, next to the people next, you know, that they're supposed to fight. Like, they should just line the base paths and just have, like, a fight right in the middle on the pitcher's mound. Like, they should just have it out right there, end all, be all, stop dragging it out.
Like, when Reese got hit yesterday, if the benches would have cleared, and everybody, you know, dugouts would have cleared and all that, and, you know, Jake Arrieta would have gone and found his guy.
He would have found Frazier, no question.
He would have found Frazier.
Yeah. He wanted to dent a skull.
He would have found him. Like, look, I'm not even... All of this right here, this all this fluff here, I'm not even... Frazier, where are you?
Oh, while everybody else is having tickle fights?
Yeah.
You have Jake Arrieta, I have no doubt.
Going straight to Frazier.
Jake Arrieta would walk out like a pitching coach with his hands still in the pockets of his jacket.
Yeah.
And just walk up, like gingerly walk over to Todd Frazier.
Yeah.
And just be, like, tap him on the shoulder.
Pay me no mind here.
And then, then knock him out.
Yeah.
That's how that would go down with Jake Arrieta.
Go to war with a guy like that, man. Now, there are some things that need to be corrected. But, you know, there are some things. Sure. There are some things.
But how does baseball fix this problem?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a great question. Here's the problem, is that it's so one-sided as to who's doing the policing. I mean, you have a pitcher with a baseball in his hand throwing at 95 miles an hour at someone, and that's someone that gets thrown at can't retaliate.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And it goes back to what you had said earlier, like, let the guy go out with the bat in his hand.
See what happens.
I agree with that, Mr. Barbarian.
Yes.
But there has to be something. Like, I don't know what's short of let the guy pick the ball up and throw it back at him or run at him and throw. I don't know. But there has to be something because, yeah, all it takes is one. All right, I'm going for his shoulder, but it got away from me a little bit. And the guy didn't and there's a broken jaw.
Yeah.
Or God forbid there's an eye, which has happened before, something really bad. Yeah, the man in all of us says let him go out. If I'm an ump, like, and he starts going after him, have at him.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead. This is the third time he threw at you. Go get him. You know, but short of that, I don't know. Fines. What do fines do?
Well, what if this? What if this?
But you know, Trey. I mean, you got hit with that one heavy fine.
But what?
$20,000 fine? A lot of guys have it in their contract up to such and such. The team will cover it or somebody will cover it. Don't worry about it.
They do?
I know.
That's beautiful.
I know in the NBA, coaches... that I've known in the past, when they got fined for technicals and stuff like that, they had it in their contract that the team would pay up to a certain amount. Yeah.
What if they, like, you know, the fence in front of the dugouts they have now, they've had for, I don't know, 10 years, however long it's been. What if that fence went all the way throughout and, like, the gates locked like it was prison and, like, nobody could get out there to rush the mound? It could only be the two players rushing the mound. What if that'd be the game? Well, no, because then you'd have all the guys in the field have the back of the pitcher. And it'd basically be 9-on-1.
No, they're not allowed to move.
Yeah.
They all have to stay in place.
They have to stay in place, or they're thrown out of baseball for life.
Terror dome.
But then now you're depending on, you know, if your batter has any squabble in him. Now, if he got a little fight game, you know, is he all right? Because, you know, I remember we went back to Bryce Harper with his charging of the mound.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, it didn't go so well.
That was negative.
Yeah, so.
But how does baseball fix that?
I don't know.
Is it unfixable? Yeah. Is it one of the few things that's just totally unfixable? There's no way to police this. Instead, we're just going to have stupid pity-pat baseballs being thrown at players with no retaliation.
If it was pity-pat, okay, but it's not. It's 95-mile-an-hour fastballs. Like, that's
scary. But what I'm saying, it's chicken bleep.
It is.
For a pitcher to have a weapon and a batter just to be standing there with a helmet. That's the deal.
That's what's going to... Yeah, it's like playing dodgeball with a guy who has unbelievable marksmanship with a ball that he can throw 95 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary for the batter.
You go old school, you go back to antiquity, where instead of the war, you just pick your two best fighters and you have them go at it.
Go at it.
There you go.
All right. There. Is Mr. Tight Pants the guy who gets picked for the Phillies?
Mr. Tight Pants? Yes, absolutely. He's the guy I pick. Mr. Tight Pants, is anybody messing with him? The silent assassin? The silent killer? Yeah, I don't think so. Man's a scary man. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, ladies and gentlemen, a historic day in U.S. soccer. The women get it done again. And if you haven't seen the celebration, we're going to break that down coming
what
up
did
in a
the,
few.
What did the men do?
What?
Yeah.
They didn't even participate.
No, I know, but they lost the Gold Cup last night. Highs of women to the lows of the men's team.
Wait, the men's?
Yeah, they played in the CONCACAF Gold Cup last night.
Oh, the CONCACAF.
Jamie's the only one on this side of the world that cares about it.
I'm talking about the World Cup,
yeah, I know. The women are good. The men suck.
Not the minor leagues. Mexico, so, you know, I watched that a little bit. I heard about it a little bit. I put a little salt.
Yeah, they suck.
Did you? Did you? Yeah, you went with the U.S.
It was a high booster. You know, I just gave a shot.
Did you bet the women yesterday?
Of course.
Oh, good bet.
Yeah.
There you go. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life, stay connected with Univest Bank. Time to the Fanatic 740.
I've got a nugget for you, and it's the best jeweler store in Philadelphia where all the couples are going to get engaged. Golden Nugget Jewelers. Golden Nugget Jewelers has the largest selection of engagement rings and is the only store in Philadelphia to carry designer brands such as Shikari, Verragio, Simon G, Michael M, Jeff Cooper, and more. Open 7 days a week with a best price guarantee. Located on the corner of 8th and Chestnut, right in the heart of Jewelers Row. Golden Nugget Jewelers is the official jewelers of the 76ers, Flyers, Phillies, and official jewelers of the Philadelphia Eagles. Of course, you can shop online at goldennuggetjeweler.com, but the best thing you can do is check out their beautiful showroom on the corner of 8th and Chestnut, right in the heart of Jewelers Row. Make the most important moment of your life exactly what you dreamed it would be at Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
97.5 The Fanatic. Voice.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Trey in the morning.
For the second time today, we are going to congratulate the United States women's team on kicking ass.
We love it. We love it.
Oh, yeah. Fourth World Cup, not too shabby. Megan Rapinoe with an awesome penalty kick. Uh-huh. A nice little goal there for herself.
Yeah, yeah,
and the
yeah.
team gave away nothing. Didn't tip her hand. Didn't tip her foot, I guess I should say. But it was just absolutely spectacular. And I don't think anybody represented the phrase pursuit of happiness more so than Alex Morgan in the locker room.
I could watch her dance all day. What?
Great balance.
Yeah.
This is silly. I was like,
good pace.
As a male, I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is fun. And then I was like, oh, this is kind of sexy.
Yeah,
this is awesome.
A little bit.
And then I was like, but this is also awesome. Because they're the greatest. They're the greatest at what they do. This is incredible. And you could definitely see her dancing. By the way, she was getting low to get low. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
She was getting down to get low. Let me say. And it was hilarious. It was awesome. It was fantastic.
It was amazing.
If they're going to celebrate, nobody represents the pursuit of happiness more so than Alex Morgan yesterday.
It wasn't her first rodeo.
She's busted out those moves before.
Oh, yeah.
It was incredible. Nice. Nice. 2-0 victory over Netherlands, and they win their fourth World Cup. I don't get it. I feel like, and it's not just because they're the best. Like, I'd rather watch women play soccer than men.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why. Maybe it is because they're just better, and that's all I know, them being awesome at soccer. I remember being... I guess I was in eighth grade, maybe ninth grade, and Mia Hamm going nuts with the national team and all that stuff, and Brandi Chastain just being awesome and whipping off the jersey when they won against Japan, I think it was. That was incredible. Maybe it's because all I know from women's soccer is them dominating, and all I know from men's soccer is like, oh, hey, they're in the World Cup. Maybe they're not. Maybe they are, and they're out. Like, that's all I know men's soccer to be. But the women's soccer, they just dominate. It's like you said, they're the heavy favorite. They're done. It's over. They just let us know when we won.
I really appreciate a team that knows when they're better and they are better and they go in and play that way. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's so many times like, all right, they're better. And all right, why are you letting this team hang around? That never happened in any game with these guys. I mean, they just went in and kicked ass from the very beginning. Uh-huh. I mean, you watch yesterday's game. How many times was the ball like in the deep defensive side of the USA? Like hardly ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just dominated, and their skill is so much fun to watch.
And the Netherlands goalie bailed him out big time.
She had that one save she had on Ertz.
The keeper, yeah.
Yeah, like Ertz hit one. It was kind of, the ball was kind of just like floating, and out of nowhere she hit one. It was like all of a sudden on the goalie.
And she had the punch save, I think it was.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. A punch save.
I was a keeper in my day.
Yeah.
Because you know why? I didn't have to run. That's the only reason. That's the only reason.
Yeah, I played soccer like when I was really young, and I wanted to score, but they wouldn't let me. They kept me in the backfield.
I wanted to score as well, but yeah. My coach was like, no, you just get here and goal. Where you don't have to run because you're not that fast.
What the score? Like my son, my youngest son, he played a little soccer one time, and I was just, son, yeah, this game isn't for you. I'm just going to be real with you. You know, as parents, you know, you never should tell your kids, like, no. But I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going to be wasting my time out here. This really isn't for you. You know, he's out there just snatching kids and stuff. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, this isn't your game. This isn't your game. We're going to find something for you, though. But this isn't it.
We know that we've eliminated an option.
Yeah,
that's what we've learned from this experiment. We learned this is one thing that you're not going to be doing.
Yeah, we're not going to do this.
So, you know, thank you for that.
Yeah. I remember I missed, so our son Kyle, who's pretty athletic, I missed his first ever soccer game because we were in South Bend, Indiana with my friends going to a Notre Dame game, which was a tradition back then.
Very nice.
And I literally cried when my wife texted me and told me, oh, he was pretty good today. He had 6 goals. And I was like, and I missed it.
Did he ever score a goal again?
Quite a few.
Ah, then what'd you miss?
Yeah.
Then what'd you miss?
Not much.
There you go. Yeah. Still father of the year.
No. Trey and I are lucky enough to go through it, and you and Jamie will go through it soon, but there's nothing better. Starting with my oldest Bobby all the way down to Jenna, there's nothing better than watching your kids play sports. There's,
really? Yeah.
If they can get something out of it, whatever it is, doesn't matter if your team's 20-0, 0-20, if they can get something out of it, that's what I love about sports. You can equate it to life, whatever. It's the best thing ever. It really is. Why, you're going to be one of those fathers that, give the ball to my girl.
See, no. I
had those times, trust me, you have those times too, but
I hope I'm just invisible. I hope I'm not even there. I hope I'm there to bring juice boxes and orange peels at the end.
Clap and cheer for the other kids, and if the other team makes a nice play, you clap and cheer for them and say, hey, nice, that's a great pass. That's what sports should be all about, yeah.
I always appreciate that, Dad. Yeah.
I'm watching Trey's son Tristan play last year in the winter. We were sitting, the guy went up and sat with Trey, and I find myself going, give Tristan the ball! and Trey's just sitting there calm as could be, and I'm getting like, give him the damn ball, he's wide open.
I had to work on it, Bobby.
You did, and you were very good at it.
I had to work on it.
Yeah.
I will say this, the only thing that'll drive me nuts is, I know if my soon-to-be daughter doesn't hustle.
Are you going to say to her, you're not a Philly girl?
I'm like, where's your lunch pail? That's what I'll say. You bring that to work. That's what I'll say to her.
You're embarrassing our family.
Yeah, I'm,
oh, wow. That's deep.
Jamie, jeez.
Did you hear that?
Easy.
Oh, damn.
I was saying,
you get a little time off, man.
Easy on my unborn daughter. All right? Jeez.
When you didn't perform at the cricket club, is that what your dad said to you?
I wish I belonged to the cricket club.
No, he would say you're embarrassing the family crest. That's what he would say. But by the way, yeah, I'm now within a month. My wife and I are a month.
Oh, yeah. You're in countdown mode.
Final countdown.
Because we had to move it.
When's 38 weeks? Because that's the real countdown.
I don't know. What are weeks? What does that even mean?
I have no idea.
It's like, don't give me a math problem.
Well, that would be 2 weeks before you're due, I believe, right?
Yeah, technically. 40 weeks is the due date, 38. So you might be go time in 2 weeks.
I told the stork. I was like, look, we just bought the house. Let me work on some stuff. All right? I need to still work.
It's not a good time for me.
I need to work on the house. I need to work on me. This whole thing.
Yeah, make sure you keep that pregnancy and intimacy going.
That helps stimulate the birth.
Stimulate the birth.
Yeah. I don't want to stimulate
the
birth.
Have you been told that?
Come on, man.
Yes, I've been told that. Okay. By you.
You got to be a teen guy.
Exactly.
Come on, man.
It's not about you anymore. It's about the family.
No. It's about me for like one more month.
And then, no. As soon as she showed you that stick and it was positive or whatever, it's no more about you.
Go ahead and pop the love swing out, man.
Boy,
get the love swing.
I got to get back to this love swing.
First off, I don't think I told you about how my wife told me that we were expecting. Did I tell you this?
No.
So I got home from work, and she handed me an envelope. You know the packaging envelopes that have, like, the bubble wrap within the
Yeah.
And she handed it to me, and I looked at it, and it was addressed. It was from her Uncle Mike, who lives in Idaho.
Mm.
And he had, I don't know, he sent us this package. So I look inside, and a positive pregnancy test falls out. And I'm like, why the hell is your...
Congratulations, Uncle Mike?
I was like, why the hell is
Uncle Mike pregnant?
I was like, why the hell is your, like, 68-year-old uncle sending us pregnancy tests?
What still the heck? Got I was it. 68, I still got it.
Yeah, if I was 68 and impregnated, I'd send it to everyone.
I was like, this is a sick joke. What the hell's going on here? And it turns out he had sent us something like a week earlier, and she just didn't want to hand me a pregnancy test. She just put it in the first thing she saw. And I was like, well, this kind of ruins the moment, but thanks. And that's how I found out we were having a baby. So now it's almost 0 hour. Yeah, it's like a month away.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks away.
So anyway,
stop kidding yourself.
Love swing. I already feel like I'm on call. We got a wedding on Friday.
Yeah.
I'm off Friday. I got a wedding, and I'm like nervous about having drinks because I don't want to.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, stop kidding yourself. You're totally getting drunk.
Just don't get crazy.
Yeah. Don't get crazy.
Yeah. It's funny how the excitement kind of.
I mean, whatever you got to do, so when you come home, you can keep the.
You might want to.
The pregnancy. Intimacy.
I remember the first time Donna told me she was pregnant, it was kind of the same thing. You know, it's all, it's happening. Second time was only a couple months after the first one came, believe it or not. And it wasn't so happy. The third time it was, oh, again. The fourth time I was literally sleeping and got the pregnancy test thrown at me in bed. Here it is. Guess what's coming?
Jeez. Oh,
but no, it's, you're going to like it.
Thanks.
Yeah, good to love swing out, don't mind.
No, I did make the point Friday, Bob, that becoming a parent is the only thing that people go when they first hear it. Oh, my God, congratulations. That's so great. And then as it actually approaches, they're like, your life's over. You're going to die. It's the war. Oh, God, so terrible.
It's hard. There's no question it's hard.
I do best in moments where you love something
and
there's no options.
Father of 2 months over there. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is it's the only thing people are like, oh, my God, congratulations. And then as it approaches, like, you're screwed. This is your life changes so bad. Oh, my God. It's so hard. And I'm like, oh, really? I thought all this was going to be easy. Like, thanks. Tons of fun. But anyway.
Back to the love swing.
The love swing in the basement. I think I've discovered a love swing.
Why didn't you show this to us on the tour?
Show a love swing to the other guy?
Yeah, I'd be like, the freaks that lived in this house had a love swing in the basement. You guys got to check it out.
Yeah, hey, Jamie, hey, Bob, come down and check out my love swing. Like, no,
stirrups?
No, so here's what...
Yeah, definitely stirrups.
For, like, the heels? Is that what we're talking about?
It's floating around.
Is it in a support beam?
I like to describe this as the ruins of a love swing.
Oh, okay. Well, you don't think it was fully functional?
It's not now, because there's nothing there anymore. It's just a bar in the ceiling. So if you go down to the basement... All right, hold on a second. So there's a bar in the basement between two support beams, you know, supporting the floor of course. Upstairs. Of course, that's how a house works. Yes. And I thought at first, I was like, oh, they must have been fitness gurus. It's a pull-up bar. And then, like, the whole thing's padded.
So definitely a love swing.
And like if you do a pull up, you hit your head on the, like, there's no room to do a pull up. And I was like, something was anchered into this thing.
Love swing,
some stirrups.
And now the weird part about
it. Did you take a black light to the basement?
I did not.
Because she probably want to bleach those walls.
Yeah.
No!
We have a black light right here just in case. You know,
yeah, let's bring that black light to the basement.
Trey, I need to borrow your black light.
Put it on Twitch TV.
Ghosts are the least of your worries now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.